Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Hey, Rush Nation, we are back. This is Fast Action Friday with me, Pitsy, and of course, Statman Rob. Hey, buddy, how's your week been?
Yeah, it's been good. It feels quite strange thinking that there's going to be a review on Thursday Night Football coming up. We missed that last week. I quite enjoyed the Monday doubleheader. What about yourself?
Yeah, Monday night having that 10 o'clock game was great. Usually it's a case of waking up on Tuesday morning and trying to get the highlights. But yeah, getting a 10 o'clock game, I was able to watch most of the game anyway. So that was great. Great news. We should have more of those.
I think so as well.
Sweet. Right, let's go straight into it. This is the Fast Action Friday, so let's make it fast. Injury report, straight up. The first player that we've got on this is Mark Ingram. He left early in the game against the Eagles. His MRI found a mid to high ankle sprain. So not something to be concerned over for the full season, but it's definitely going to keep him out a while. Anyway, Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins came over and took the game for them. What else have we got?
So Dobbins and Edwards actually both got the highest carry number of the season in that game. So Dobbins got 9 and Edwards got 14, which, you know, for Dobbins doesn't seem like a lot, but unsurprisingly, there's been a lot of other players there who've been taking the volume. Incidentally, it's hard to have a little bit of optimism with those two taking over just because of the timing of the bye weeks. Obviously, there's been a shift with all the COVID changes, and now Baltimore have got their bye week this week. So it's likely that Ingram could be back in week 8, and again, we'll be back to a situation where they're eating each other's carries. And unfortunately, there might not be any fantasy value there until an injury takes one out. It's, you know, it's tough to say that, but that is the case. And they are playing the Steelers when they come back as well, who, as you know, they are hard on running backs. Kareem Hunt found that out last week. So we'll just have to see what happens there. But unfortunately, it might not be the best timing for Dobbins and Edwards to get, you know, their look in the team.
Yeah, it'll be interesting how the Steelers come up against a running quarterback. The running backs, they've kind of been stifled quite a lot by the Steelers D, and it's been pretty hot. But yeah, Lamar Jackson's a completely different ballgame, really, isn't he? So having him to kind of think about might help the Ravens with their running back situation against the Steelers D, but I suppose we'll just have to wait and see, won't we?
Indeed.
Okay, so the next player up is Miles Sanders. This is bad news for quite a few of my leagues. His knee injury against the Ravens meant he was not coming back to the game. If it was Murph talked about it in his waivers, it was making sure that if it was just a bruise or something, you probably have seen him finish off the game, but he did not return, so bad news.
Yeah, and the fact that they haven't actually released the results of any scans yet does raise some questions. A lot of medical-based Twitter accounts theorise about what the issue could be. Could it have been a meniscus injury? Could it be a ligament injury? None of the scenarios have Sanders returning anytime soon, so not great news for the Eagles. He didn't practice Tuesday, Wednesday. Doug Pederson said he's not going to play for a while. Boston Scott is the next man up. I covered him in the Stats and Shares articles earlier this year before the season started, and I was quite impressed with how he performed in the 2019 season. But this year, he just hasn't hit the same heights as he did coming into the team, which has been a little bit disappointing for anyone who picked him up. You never know, perhaps Sanders' absence will allow him to get back into a bit of groove that he seemed to be missing this season. Regardless, Corey Clement and Jason Huntley will be the backups in this game, so we'll have to see what happens there. The Giants' defense, as we know, came off a great performance against the Washington football team last week. However, they do still rank in the bottom 10 for conceding fantasy points against running backs.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting. The good thing about a couple of my leagues, I actually picked up Sanders as a very late draft pick. So, sorry, not Sanders, Boston Scott. So I've got a couple of Sanders and Scott in the same team, which is, I was expecting Sanders not to play the full 16, but maybe not quite this early.
Yeah, so it's always been good to have him as that backup, you know, good handcuff to have.
Yeah, and he's not a bad little player either, so hopefully he'll just slot straight in and he'll be okay and get me some good points.
Fingers crossed.
Unfortunately, we've got another Philly player going down. This time it's Zach Ertz. He has been diagnosed with a high ankle sprain. In fact, just as we were about to record this, I had a couple of notifications saying he's going to be out 3 to 4 weeks. So, not good.
No, and especially since they lost Alex Goddard earlier in the year as well. That's put a real spanner in, you know, the two tight end game that they used to be playing. There is speculation that Goddard could come back before Ertz, but there's going to be some overlap time when both of them are out. I did mention Richard Rodgers on the matchup pod a couple of weeks ago, and he would have been a good stash, but actually, he will actually see some fantasy relevance now. Said actually quite a few times in. He's been getting a steady flow of targets. He actually saw three with Ertz and the team, and considering Ertz got 10 targets before he left the game, and with the gaps at wide receiver, I don't think it's unreasonable to suggest that Rodgers could see double those targets this week against the Giants.
Yeah, I think everything's up for grabs in that that passing attack. I don't think anyone really knows who or what receiver is going to be catching the ball week to week at the moment with so many people out. So yeah, one to watch. All right, next up we've got Raheem Mostert. Again, unfortunately, he's in my team. Not that you need to know that, but he left the game versus the Rams with another lower body injury. So again, it was a high ankle sprain for him.
Yeah, such a shame because he has been supreme when he's been available. And obviously he just came back. So to have one game, 1.5 games of production before sitting out again, it's not good for him or fantasy owners. You know, it's been very unreliable. With Tevin Coleman still out as well, Jerick McKinnon is next in line. However, I still think the jury's still out on whether McKinnon can support the team as a lead back. He's had a few games and those stats haven't been outstanding. So the man up after that is Jermichael Hasty. You know, he's another player who could benefit from the Mostert injury. He came in as a secondary back last week and rushed 9 times for 37 yards, which is a great return. So it's going to be a good battle between those two who can see who can come out on top. I think Kyle Shanahan may have to go with a hot hand approach if Hasty turns out to be that viable threat to the position. But, you know, for the 49ers, having that competition can't be a bad thing.
No, you saw how well the team turned it around last week to get the win.
Really did.
Shanahan knows how to kind of get the play calls right for the players that he's got, no matter who and what background they've had before. He'll make a way of making it work. So yeah, just depends on, like you say, the hot hand, who he's going to go with.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next up we've got Baker Mayfield. He had a torrid time against the Steelers, intercepted twice, sacked a few times, really hurt his suspected rib injury just got worse and worse, so they pulled him out. Whether that was because he was playing rubbish or whether I think they turned around and said it was just because they didn't want him to get hit again. He was getting pounded, so.
Yeah, he really was. And there was a few times where the camera kind of stayed on him while he was on the floor, just a bit slow to get up. He was limited at Wednesday's practice. And Stefanski has said that Baker will remain the starter if he's healthy. That is likely to happen, partially because Cincinnati is a more favourable outfit than the Steelers D. You know, Steelers D are very frightening for anyone to play against. I think we can all agree there.
Yeah, they absolutely hammered him. Like, there was just no protection for him. He just got hit left, right and centre. So, yeah, since I think they'll still get to him, but not quite as hard as the Steelers defence did, yeah. Anyway. They ain't got a right lot behind Baker, so they kind of need him. He played all right. He still can throw it. He's just trying to get him through those downs and hope that he doesn't kind of keep on hurting it, really. Okay, Rob. Our next segment is weak points. Like last week, this is where we look at the teams who have given up the most yards and touchdowns to a certain position. Hopefully this helps you decide whether you want to have your players from their opponents in your starting lineups. So who's up first, Rob?
So last week we talked about the Atlanta Falcons being the team that gave away the most fantasy points to quarterbacks. They remain at the top, even after the win against the Vikings. I mean, we thought it could have been a different story. They seemed to shore up really well against Cousins. They kept them scoreless in the first half, a few picks against them, including one of the first plays of the game. You know, shocking. But the second half comeback from Minnesota meant 3 more touchdowns on their sheet, 2 more 2-point attempts, and 343 more yards tacked on. So they stay quite a distance at the top at the moment. They face the Lions this week, though. Still not promising, to be honest. The Lions did score 3 rushing touchdowns last week against the Jags. So this could be a closer game. And this does open up a passing attack option for the Falcons. Incidentally, they have been the second worst fantasy points for tight end. And TJ Hockenson has been the biggest target share of any Lions player so far. And 4 receiving touchdowns have gone to tight ends. So as we know, the tight ends get the points. So do the quarterbacks. They've also been the 6th worst against wide receivers as well. And 3 wide receivers for the Lions have already seen over 20 targets this year. So that's Golladay, Amendola, and Marvin Jones. So 2 positions who fare fairly well from the passing attack. The Atlanta Falcons don't do very well again. So it's going to be a tough time for that defense once again.
Yeah, tough one for the Falcons to. Although they played quite well last week, so we'll see. Okay, so most fantasy points to the running back. We had the Carolina Panthers. They've now dropped to 4th. Texans got decimated by Derrick Henry and the Titans. And then the drop below the Raiders on average points. The new leader is now Green Bay Packers, which is quite surprising, as the considering Green Bay have been ahead in most of their games, that they've not really faced a runner late in the game. As a result, the carries they have faced have been much lower than other teams, even those on bye weeks. The damage has been done by a combination of different factors. They have conceded 7 rushing touchdowns, tied for second worst, with several other teams' running backs have also had great success against them in the catching game. 34 of 39 targets were completed. That's led to a high number of receiving yards and 2 touchdowns for the position, which is amongst the worst in the league. These stats aren't mind-blowing, and there are other teams that have got worse numbers than these categories. However, this is based upon the average of 5 games rather than the 6, so it brings the average fantasy points up, which is why the Raiders have also risen to 2nd.
Yeah, so it's likely that once more teams have had their bye weeks, it's probably going to even out, and it's just unfortunate that Green Bay have had one of the first bye weeks, so that's why they've risen a bit higher up.
Yeah, their opponents this week are Houston Texans. David Johnson scored a touchdown against the Titans last week, and the players seem to be benefiting from having somebody else call their plays. Deshaun Watson has been allowed to make the big plays, and the Texans have been more competitive as well, so scoring their 2 highest points totals in the week since B.O.B.'s departure.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping the Texans in the game may allow the rushing the volume. So, however, the Texans don't possess a proper pass catching back, so they may not be able to find that some same success that previous teams have had. Regardless, it's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, Duke Johnson and David Johnson, they don't get as many targets as other running backs would, so it's going to be difficult to see if they can make the same moves in that area. However, you know, the Packers, it's going to be an interesting game. Like I said, it's all about the game script. And if Rodgers has a better game than he did last week against the Bucs, then this may not even be a factor. You know, the Green Bay Packers may not even face the volume we're expecting. So let's have a look at the most fantasy points to wide receivers. And last week it was the Seahawks. They were on the bye week and nothing's really changed. The Seahawks are still top of the list. Even with the average being brought up due to the lower number of games that they've played, I still think they'd be top of the list, even if they played the same number of games. The Vikings have closed the gap. Matt Ryan laid an absolute smackdown on their defense last week, but Seattle are still over 200 points ahead of the Minnesota team in second place. They've got the Cardinals this week, and Kyler Murray feels the benefit of getting a huge lead against the Cowboys last week. Gave him a tough time with the running, but they still managed to bag 2 touchdowns to wide receivers. I felt like D-Hop was closed down really well against the Cowboys, but there is a notion that he's going to explode against the Seattle secondary if Seattle haven't sorted out their coverage. They've brought in some new players to fill the positions, and hopefully quality gaps get filled as well. But you've got D-Hop, you know, we know what he's like. It's going to be a real baptism of fire for any new players who fit in this week. And you got to remember as well that Andy Isabella has got the potential with a high ceiling for his deep threat ability. And Christian Kirk is coming off a 2 touchdown week. We've not even mentioned Larry Fitzgerald as well. So there's 4 potential players there who could see an amazing game against the Seahawks if they haven't sorted it out this week. The second place Vikings are on a bye week, and the Cleveland Browns 300 yards behind. So unless the Browns have a disaster against the Bengals, it's likely that we're going to be talking about the Seahawks again next week.
Well, this all bodes well for my wide receivers, who we might end up talking about them a little bit later, but yeah.
Oh, is that a little bit of a hint there? Ooh.
little hint, yes. Anyway, we'll go on to the most fantasy points to tight ends. So that is the New Orleans Saints. Saints were on a bye week last week, so we've highlighted the Bills as one of the worst teams against the tight ends as well. Travis Kelce scored 2 touchdowns against them. Despite that, Saints still topped the list based upon the 5-game average. Covering those stats again, the Titans have had 54 targets against the Saints. 37 of those were completed with 367 yards and 6 touchdowns. They face the Panthers this week. Ian Thomason, Chris Manertz, the main players in the position, haven't been used as major players in the passing game, but the targets are going to wide receivers and running back.
Yeah, I don't see Carolina changing the game plan either, even though the Saints are weak in that area. You have had teams who have also been weak against the tight end play the Panthers already, and they still haven't passed to Thomas or Manhurts as much as you would expect. So it's worth remembering that the Saints are weak in that position, and I'm wondering whether Joe Brady will consider those stats when organising his play calling for this week. Although it really comes down to Teddy's progression during the game. He's got his people that he likes to look at first, you know, Anderson, Moore, Davis. Whether or not Thomas and Manhurts come into that equation, it is another thing, but we will have to see.
Nice.
So we have got our segment from last week where we talked about the game before the name. You had yourself Preston Williams last week. So how did he do?
All right, well, it's all about the long game with Williams, but that's not what people want to hear, is it? He caught 2 of 3 balls, so didn't get a right lot of targets that was thrown his way. He got 18 yards, so not a big day at all. He did manage to save his day a little bit with a touchdown, but that's now 3 touchdowns in the last 4 games, so that's a good side of things. The game script just didn't allow for it. They had already kind of got up with the lead. The running game was doing all right, and yeah, Miami just didn't need to pass in the second half of the game against the Jets. So, yeah, he did okay. Yeah. I think going forward with Tua, there's potential. I think Tua likes to roll out to the left now with him being a left-handed thrower. And Williams does sit on the left quite a few times. So, hopefully, it'll be thrown his way with Tua in the mix now.
It sounds like you need some closer games where they can just shoot the ball out and Williams gets that volume.
Yeah. Hopefully that connection with Tua is going to be something good. We'll see. It's hard to tell now with the new quarterback coming in. I still love Williams though. So
we'll have to see after the bye week.
My new player this week. Okay, let's see how you get on with this one. He has had 39 targets with 22 receptions. So not a huge amount, but he's still got 5 touchdowns off that with a healthy 496 yards, averaging 22.5 yards per reception.
Ooh, so that's
big numbers. Yards before the catch is 17.1, so he's running a lot before he catches the ball. So big bombs down the field, although he's still averaging a nice 5.4 after the catch as well. He's picked up 19 first downs for his team, and he's on the field for almost every snap, and he's getting about 96% of the snap count. This week he's going up against a D that has allowed 1,489 receiving yards as well, so potential big game.
Ooh, 39 targets over 5 or 6 games. That is quite a large number. A lot of yards as well. Have you by any chance written about this person?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. Oh, so narrows it down a little bit.
If I had a nice article about it last week, which I'll definitely give away to you.
Yeah. Well, for the people at home, who is that person?
Metcalf. So DK Metcalf. I am all about him this year. He's already showing why I thought about it before the season started, how he's going to get more targets coming his way, and he's the big bomb down the field. He's got such a big catch radius. He's just, he's fast. Love him.
He certainly is. He's a big favourite of mine as well.
Right, Rob, you had Landry last week. How did he get on?
So Landry actually had the best stats in terms of targets and yards from the wide receivers for the Browns. He got 5 targets, 3 receptions, only 40 yards. He didn't get a touchdown, though. So that keeps his barren streak going for another week. Although the touchdown was picked up by another wide receiver, so it does show that the targets were available for the position. He just didn't seem to get it going against the Steelers, which is a shame because they were passing the way back into the game as well. And as we know, Mayfield just couldn't get the time to get anything off either. So a tricky time. I felt like it was the best pick out of the Browns. The results just didn't go my way, unfortunately. We have a new player though this week. So see if you can get this one. So the new player, he is averaging 7.6 targets a game since week 2. He has the highest target count in the last 3 games for his team. The highest average yards per reception on the team across all games. He has scored multiple touchdowns already this season, so we have chosen someone this week who has actually scored. However, he is below 50% rostered in ESPN leagues, and he is playing a team this week that has conceded multiple touchdowns to this position when that team play away from home.
See, I'm thinking it's a... Am I right in saying it's a tight end? Ooh. I feel like it's a tight end.
Keep going, keep talking. I won't tell you if it's right or not, but keep having a think about it. Go on.
No, I don't know. I don't know this one.
This is T. Higgins.
Okay.
So he has seen a huge increase in his target share in the last few weeks. Yeah, he did, I think he had his biggest target share in one of the last 2 weeks. And yes, they are playing the Browns away from home. So another Browns player, another Browns based player to think about. Incidentally, T. Higgins is $5,300 on DraftKings. DK Metcalf is $7,200 on DraftKings. So if you're thinking about slotting him into your lineups, then that is the price that you have got to play with at the moment.
Right. So I actually had a look at him. There was a league that didn't have a right lot of players used, and he was actually on the waivers, and I actually looked at getting him, but decided against it this week. So we'll see. Might have to rue that pick. Right, Rush Nation, like last week, we are finishing today on Rob's Friday fade. How did last week go, and who are we fading this week?
So last week, I chose Kareem Hunt against the Steelers. And as we have said, you know, Mayfield had a tough time. So did Kareem Hunt. He got only 40 rushing yards off 13 carries and only 17 yards off 2 receptions, which goes with what I said about not targeting running backs as much when you're playing the Steelers. So hopefully he has a bit of a bounce back game this week. I have taken a bit of a gamble with this one, especially after what happened on Monday night. So my Friday fade this week is Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, which is going to be quite a surprise.
Yeah.
And it's going to be quite a surprise, especially as I put Chiefs in Find the Gap in week 6, and they smashed it, absolutely smashed it. As I said in there, I think it was the highest rushing return for the Chiefs in Andy Reid's tenure. So that shows how much they did against the Bills. But in the article, it also covered the different reasons why the Chiefs would find success against the Bills, because the Bills haven't been great in the rush defense. And in my opinion, Denver are actually a different proposition to Buffalo. And the Denver team dealt really well with Cam Newton and the Patriots on Sunday. And it echoed what the thought was about Denver when I mentioned them in the matchups podcast. They are tough against the run. They are actually third best behind San Francisco and the Steelers. And in terms of yards conceded, they have conceded the 4th fewest against running back runs. So already we're starting to see some big stats that are going in favor of the Denver defense here. They've only conceded 1 rushing touchdown to running backs as well. So that makes it even trickier for anyone to get in. They are joint second behind the Chargers. So the Chargers haven't conceded any yet. And they are tied with the Ravens and Patriots for only conceding 1 rushing touchdown. That number continued against the Patriots. None of those running backs got in. You had Rex Burkhead, who was shut out as well. They stopped Derrick Henry from getting a touchdown when they played him. And not many teams can say that they've done that this season. Yeah, so as we know, Cam Newton got the touchdown. He's a quarterback. Patrick Mahomes might be the one to run in and sneak it in. And of course, we've got Lev Bell, who has signed with the Chiefs as well. You know, he's going to cannibalize a lot of the goal line carries because they just don't seem to trust Edwards-Helaire at the moment. They're bringing in Williams, who got the touchdown this week. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens within that 20-yard line now they've got a running back like Lev Bell there. So even if the Broncos do concede touchdowns from running backs, the likelihood of it being Clyde Edwards-Helaire scoring, they've already been halved before you consider those struggles. So, like I said, quite a controversial pick for a Friday fade, especially after last week's success. But, you know, that's what you've got to aim big. You've got to go for the stars for this one. And that's what I'm doing 2 weeks in.
Yeah, no, I like this. I think even if the Chiefs get higher up on the score and have the ability to run it, I think they're potentially going to let Bell have a little play and see how he gets on as well. So like his touches are going to be reduced. So I like that. I like that pick. That's good. There you have it, Rush Nation. If you haven't already, make sure you go check out the 5-Yard Rush website where we have so much content out there right now. Rob, the Tower of Power is relatively new. That's out. Tell Rush Nation what that is.
So this is a collaborative piece between myself and yourself, as well as Josh. We have a look at the top 20 fantasy relevant players for half PPR scoring. So we look at like the top six quarterbacks, and then we factor in other positions and how effective their point scoring goes against other players in their position. So you might see running backs and wide receivers higher up than they would be in rankings, but that's because they have helped teams win matchups against other players in their position. And then we've also, at the end of the article, put in the top five players at each position. So top five quarterbacks, top five running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. It's just a nice way to go into the week so you can see who's done well, especially those surprising players. We had Chase Claypool a couple of weeks ago. We had Derrick Henry at the top this week, not to release any spoilers, but that comes out tonight on recording. So you'll have seen that by the time you listen to this. And it seems to be working really well. It's bringing up a lot of people who have been surprised about where players are finishing. So the feedback has been good.
Nice. Yeah, and we've got Murph Stats, its article is out there. Lockdown Corner from Stocks is out there now too. Mm-hmm. So much information to help you with your weekend matchups. And if the masses of content hasn't covered an issue on your team, then don't forget you can still hit up the team on @5YardRush on Twitter. Rob, where can they find you?
So I have changed my handle from last week. It is now @5YardRob. So easier to put in.
Nice. Love it. And you can find me on Twitter too, @PitsyNFL. Rob, this has been a belter. Cheers, buddy.
Yeah, cheers, Pitsy. Well, Rush Nation, good luck this weekend. And until next time, keep rushing.